All right, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 4 this morning. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. I'm asking God to do a work in our heart as we focus on the gospel. Our world is in desperate need of the gospel. We're not in need of more conservative news, more conservative politicians, better laws and better government or less government or more government. Our world's in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to focus on. You glad you're saved today? Say amen.
Amen.
And sometimes I think that I'm in a Lutheran church or something. So let's don't be afraid to say amen. Huh? Somebody said the other day, I remember when we used to say amen. Hey, I'm listening for you. Maybe you say it and I don't hear it, but I don't know. But it's good to be saved. Amen. It's good to be saved and good to be in God's house. Romans chapter number 4. And we're going to look at the first 8 verses. And actually, we're going to be bouncing around in the book of Romans and a few other places in Scripture. And I'm going to ask you if you are able to stand with us in respect to the Word of God. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? That question's our title this morning. I'm going to shorten it a little bit. What did Abraham find? What did Abraham find? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the righteousness that we have in the person of Jesus Christ through faith in him. By simply believing, trusting, relying on him. We found the same thing that Abram found and millions of others that have gone on before us. Many of whom we will never know any details about them till we get to heaven around your throne. And we'll join with that choir of millions through the ages that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that have been justified through faith, their faith in God, and known the grace of God that transforms our lives. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the time together this morning. I pray that you would bless now in these few moments we look into your word, that we would block out distractions, and that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work into our lives and our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. What did Abraham find? What did he find? Well, hopefully you found the same thing that Abraham found. We mentioned some things about this chapter in Sunday school this morning. Abraham was not a perfect man by any means. And there are no perfect people in this church or outside the church. Sometimes people think because I'm up here, I'm some kind of super Christian. Hey, I've got the same temptation you do. I've got sin that I struggle with daily. I got this old flesh that I've got to learn to die to every morning when I get up out of bed. And we're all sinners, but we're just saved by God's grace. And there's nothing that we've done to merit His favor, nothing we can do to merit His, to make Him love us anymore. He loves us while we were yet sinners. And I'm thankful for that. That's the next chapter. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves here. Romans chapter number 4. What did Abraham find? First of all, he found justification by faith. Justification. We find justification. Help me out here. We were in Sunday school. Justification is just as if I'd never sinned. And that comes through faith in Christ. Look at verse number 2. It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, He hath wherewith to glory, but not before God. If he were justified by his own goodness, by his own works, he would have reason to glory. He would have reason for pride in his life. But we're not justified by our works. We're justified by faith in him. He found, and I think this, and somebody mentioned this in Sunday school this morning too. Abraham lived before the law was given. But he still had a conscience, and he still had the moral law that God put in the heart of every man. What do we mean by that? Everyone knows that it's wrong to kill, right? Everyone knows that it's wrong to steal. Everyone knows that it's wrong to mistreat other people. That's the natural law. We all realize that we are sinners by that natural law, but he did not have the written law. But Abraham was lived before God wrote down his law in the Bible. He lived hundreds of years before one of his great-great-great-great-grand down the line, Moses, would be given that law on Mount Sinai. Abraham found justification by faith, just like Noah found justification by faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By the way, Noah wasn't saved because he built an ark. Noah was saved because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he was able to build the ark because of that grace that God gave him. And Abram found the same thing. If he were saved any other way, he would have reason to boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And I like verse number 10 too. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your works. Listen, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thanks for helping me out there. I've got things backed up. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, the works follow salvation. In fact, we'll get to it in a little bit. I'm going to go to look at James here in a little bit. But look at one other verse here before we turn. And keep your place here in Romans. We're going to go to a few places and come back here to Romans chapter number 4. Verse number 3. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Those two words, believed, or the word believed, literally is the same word that's translated in other places in the Bible as had faith. Faith, or believe, he had his faith in God. And it was counted, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. We looked at that word counted or reckoned or imputed this morning in Sunday school and studying that word throughout. There's three different English words that all come from the same Greek word. But his faith was, his belief in God was imputed unto him for righteousness. And by the way, verse number 3 is quoting. It says, what saith the Scripture? It's actually a quotation from Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6 during the life of Abraham. It says, and he, Abraham, believed God, or believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now I want you to go to the book of James here for a little bit, because sometimes people get confused on this, and I want to take the time to show you something in James, because oftentimes this comes up when we say, well, was Abraham saved by his works? You know, sometimes people say, well, we live in the age of grace. Every age is the age of grace. Huh? I know that there are things different in our age than it was in Abraham's time. For one, he didn't have the law. And for two, when he was saved, he didn't get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do today. He didn't have a complete Bible like we do today. But salvation's always been of grace. Every age is surrounded and covered by God's grace. In James chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 17, and some people think that, well, Abraham had to do these things to get saved. They think, well, the Israelites had to do these, keep these sacrifices in order to be saved. No, they had nothing to do with their salvation. Verse number 17 of James 2 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And some would say, well, there it is. You got to have faith and works or you don't get to go to heaven. That has nothing to do with what we're teaching here, what James is telling us. In verse number 18, says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, our works are something for others to see. They have nothing to do with saving us. They're just simply telling the world that we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our faith is what saves us. And James is going to make this very clear a couple of verses down. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, but devils also believe and tremble. A lot of folks claim to believe in God, but their life isn't. If you've not been changed when you were saved, you probably don't understand what salvation is all about. Probably nothing. You don't know. Can the God himself come and live inside of me and I not know he's there? Hello? The devils also believe. Well, I believe in God. Well, that's a popular thing to believe in God. The devils also believe. In fact, they do better than a lot of folks today. They tremble at the thought of God. And we just say, hey, yo, God, the man upstairs, and all the things that you hear people refer to God as today. The devil has more respect toward God than a lot of folks that call themselves Christians today. The devil fears God. In verse number 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If your faith isn't followed up by a change in your behavior, there's something missing. In verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? There's an illustration of his faith. The Bible says that he was justified long before he offered his son. Long before his son was born, he was justified. Now, verse number 20 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete or mature or illustrated for us. Now, verse number 23 makes it very clear. Another place that it quotes Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6, just as Romans 4 and verse 3 does. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham, what? Believed God. He had faith in God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Long before Abraham had any works to show his salvation, he already was a friend of God. He already had faith. He already was saved. So his works had nothing to do with saving him. His works were just a testimony of his salvation. I like James because he was from Missouri. Huh? He said, you say you have faith, show me. And you show me your faith by your works. And that's what he's emphasizing in the book of James. But James makes it very clear that Abraham was not saved by his works, but his works demonstrated or showed us the reality of his salvation. Now back in Romans chapter number 4, what did Abraham find? He found justification by faith. Look again in chapter number 4, in verse number 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If I'm working for my salvation, I've earned a reward. I've earned my own salvation. But salvation is of grace, not of works. Verse number 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, the justification of the ungodly is, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Jump, if you will, to verse number, verse number 13. It says, for the promise that he should be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. His faith brought righteousness. For if they which are of the law be heirs of God, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Just being a child of Abraham doesn't mean you get to go to heaven. Is what that verse is emphasizing. A lot of folks think, well, because I'm born in America and America is supposed to be a Christian country, I'm automatically a Christian, so I get to go to heaven. Or because my parents go to church, because my parents are godly people, because they've been born again and I'm born into their family, I get to go to heaven on their wake, so to speak. No, I must be born again personally. Verse number 15, but because the law worketh wrath, for there where no law is, there is no transgression. Herein is the faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham, you know that little song that the kids sing in junior church sometime or on the bus or at camp? Father Abraham had many sons. That's a good time to get the wiggles out of the kids. There's some great truth in that song. We are children of Abraham in the fact that we exercise the same faith that he has. Abraham found faith and justification by faith. And he, in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 6, let me read this verse. If you can turn as fast as me, you can get there. I found it. I won, didn't I? I get a piece of candy? Well, never mind. Romans 11, verse number 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more grace. You see, it's got to be one or the other. We either earn our salvation or it's all of God's grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We're going to come back to that word grace here in a little bit. But Abraham found justification by faith. How many times have you thought, or maybe you've heard people say, well, in the Old Testament, they were saved by keeping the law? Never. No one was ever saved by keeping the law. They were saved the same way you and I are saved today, realizing the law is given to condemn us as sinners. And then we put our faith in God, who is going to send a Redeemer, the fulfillment of the law. We look back to Him. They just look forward to Christ, the Messiah, which is what the word Christ means. Secondly, Abram found faith in God. His faith was in God, not in himself. In Romans chapter, go back a few verses to Romans 3 and verse number 22. Verse number 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and unto and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I want you to notice a couple of words in that verse. Notice it says the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? Faith of Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's a big difference between an of or an in right in that spot. You see, a lot of people believe in God. They have faith in God, but they don't have the faith of God. I'll show you what that means in a little bit. Therefore, unto all them that believe, there is all them that, and all and upon, the word upon there. All them and unto all and upon them that believe. The justification, the imputation of God is upon us. Our faith is not our faith, but it's His faith. I'll try to explain that. Galatians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul says it another way. He says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the Holy Spirit. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. It's not me trying to be someone. It's not my faith that makes me what I am. It's Christ's faith in us. For the righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, faith, and I'm going to say this carefully, and we're going to see the difference here. Faith in Christ brings us salvation. But the faith of Christ brings sanctification. What do you mean? Remember when Jesus talked about the faith of the size of a grain of a mustard seed? We don't have much faith to begin with. When we call upon Him as our Savior, I heard somebody pray this many years ago and it got me thinking of this, and I understood a biblical principle here. And what we call the sinner's prayer, when whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They prayed this way, Lord, with as much faith as I possibly can, help me to believe in You. We don't have much faith. But the more we trust in Him, the more faith He gives us. But the more we trust in ourselves, the less faith we have. And by the way, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, not just hearing anything, not hearing the preacher, but hearing what? The Word of God. That's where faith comes from the Word of God. Abram found the faith of God. Now, I want you to think of something here. Abram's faith was weak. His faith was very weak. In fact, his life illustrates how weak our faith is. But God's faith in him was very strong. And there's a big difference there. In Romans chapter number 4, look at these verses. I'm going to show you a couple of illustrations here. Romans chapter number 4, and I think somebody mentioned this verse in Sunday school this morning, verse number 18, who against hope believed in hope. When it's impossible, I'm still going to believe. What faith that is. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that's my favorite definition of faith right there in all the Bible. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, when you look at this, Abraham had such great faith. But you look at his life, you get a different story, don't you? You see, it wasn't his faith, it was God's faith that he allowed to live in him. Abram's faith faltered much. You remember when he left, and we talked about the great faith he had, and even the more faith that his wife Sarah had when they left Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of promise. They came to the land of Egypt, and Abraham believed God and trusted God was going to take care of him, right? He said, Sarah, I tell you what, you're a good-looking woman. By the way, she was near 90 years old. You're a good-looking woman, Sarah. We better do something to make sure that these Egyptians don't do more than just look. He said, let's tell them that you're not my wife, you're my sister. Otherwise, they're going to kill me to get you if they know I'm your husband. He didn't trust God. He didn't believe God could take care of him. You see, his faith was weak. In Genesis chapter number 17, long after Abram was saved, Abraham and Sarah realized that, you know, God promised us a child, but we ain't going to have a child. So let's, Abram, why don't you get Hagar in here and let's have a child through her. And because of their lack of faith, there's still conflict in our world today, by the way. That's the cause of that conflict. Goes back to Genesis, the book of Genesis. But needless to say, that they had their son, and their son was now 13 years old when Abraham was 99 years old, and God came back with the same promise as Genesis chapter number 17, said, Abraham, you're still going to have a son. What? Well, they didn't believe it back then, and now it's 13 years later. But he said, before you do that, and that's when God instituted circumcision. You see, before Isaac was conceived, Abram had to be circumcised, and that was when Ishmael was 13 years old. And Abraham even prayed in that chapter, God, this isn't going to work. God, this is impossible. I'm near 100 years old. I can't have a child now. Who's going to take care of this baby? And Abraham even prayed to God, oh, that Ishmael would live for God. Why can't you just make Ishmael the son of promise? And God said, no, you're going to have a son. And sure enough, when God spoke that word to Abram, Sarah was in the tent. She heard God talking. She laughed. That's not possible. In chapter number 18, God renewed that promise to Abraham, and Sarah laughed, and Abraham questioned God again, and God said to them, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" But Abram's faith was not his faith, it was God's faith. Abraham practiced great faith, but the reality was it wasn't his faith to begin with. And the reason his faith was growing is because he was acting on the promise of God, which was the Word of God. He didn't have any written Bible that we have today. All he had was a promise of God. And God renewed that promise a couple of times. And the more Abraham fought on that promise and got into that promise, the more God increased his faith. And notice in Romans chapter number 4, the faith of God is what Abraham found, the same faith of God. And all of a sudden we jump to another Bible character in Romans 4 and verse number 6 through 8. Even as David, as describeth the blameless, the blessedness, the happiness, the joyfulness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." What do we know about David? David was a man after God's own heart. And certainly being a man after God's own heart, he was about as righteous as they come, right? He never failed publicly. He would have never disgraced God. I mean, he's used here as a great illustration of having faith in God, but you know about David. He committed many sins. He was a failure in many ways. In fact, if you turn back to Psalm 34, this is a psalm that's being quoted here in Romans 4, written by David. And as God is speaking of David in Psalm chapter number 34, or Psalm 32, I'm sorry. Oh, that's not right when I looked at it. Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit is no guile, no sin, no ill behavior. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. David realized that I'm about as low as you can get as far as a sinner. And I even tried to hide my sin. And while I hid my sin, and there's some great truths here about physical ailments that are caused by our sin or our unconfessed sin, the sin we try to cover it up. And David said, "While I kept silent, while I refused to confess my sin, when I tried to cover my sin, my bones waxed old." I mean, I was sick. Your hand was heavy upon me. The moisture has turned to that. I mean, I was dry. I was dehydrated. I was had all these ailments because I was trying to hide. But when I confessed my sin, God made it right and made me an example of the fact that it's not my righteousness; it's His righteousness. It's not my goodness, and just like Abraham, it's not anything that I've done that I've earned salvation. It's all because of His grace. All because of His unmerited. We're justified by faith. Abram discovered that. David discovered it. If you're saved today, you discovered that too. Justification is not by works of righteousness, not by the things that we've done, but what He has done. Abraham's a great man of faith, and yet his faith was faltering. David's a man after God's own heart, but David failed in many ways. Thank God for His grace. And that leads me to the last thing that Abram found. And we could say David found, and everybody in Old Testament, New Testament, everyone today that's truly been born again. You found it's grace that transforms. It's grace that transforms. that changes us. How do we define grace? Somebody give me a definition. I've given a few different definitions of grace. You've heard different ones. Somebody's going to give me mine because they think I'm the teacher. You're going to give me the one that I want to hear. But what's the good definition of faith? What, or of grace? I'm sorry, grace.
God's unmerited favor.
God's unmerited favor. That's a simple, true. God's unmerited. I didn't do anything to earn God's grace. I don't deserve God's grace. That's His grace. How else do you find grace?
The substance of things
hoped for. Well, that's faith. You're quoting faith. That's okay. I said faith there a couple of times too. Grace is, remember the acrostic, G-R-A? God's, Linda's saying the other one now. God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ, it was free for us, but it costs Christ everything. If we could ever understand the price that He paid for our salvation. You know, the religious world's going to make a big deal in a couple of weeks. I don't know how far down the road, a little bit, about what they call Good Friday, where Jesus died in the cross. They're going to have people march through the streets carrying their cross in some place of the country. They literally whip themselves and flog themselves to try to earn some kind of merit with God. And they talk about, well, yeah, you know, Jesus died on the cross. I'm thankful He did that, but we still got to do our part to get ourselves saved. But if we could truly comprehend what Jesus did on the cross, we're not capable of understanding a millionth of what He did on the cross. You think of this, He died not only for my sin, for your sin, for the sins of the entire world, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He paid. Eternity in hell is what it would cost me to pay for my sin. Just for me. He took all that sin upon Himself on the cross. Not only for me, but for every person that's ever been born. Try to comprehend that. What do the kids say? Mind blown. It would cause our mind to explode if we even could comprehend just a minute portion of what Jesus did on the cross for our sin. That's the price that Jesus paid for my sin. And sometimes we as Christians take it grace so flippantly. Oh, bless God, I can do whatever I want to because I don't have to worry about it. Think of what Jesus paid for your sin. What would take me an eternity in hell in the lake of fire to pay, Jesus did it in those few hours He was hanging on the cross. Think of the agony that He was going through as God's own Son dying for us. Grace is, I heard Linda saying it and I interrupted you, but the grace definition that I give often is God doing in me and through me what is humanly impossible. It starts with, and I use that to emphasize, it starts with salvation, but that's just the very beginning. He wants to go way beyond salvation. And by the way, I can't save myself. That's God's grace. I can't live the Christian life. That's God's grace. If we ever think that we can live the Christian life of our own character, of our own goodness, we're just as guilty as a lost person think that they can earn their way of salvation. We are, as the verse we read earlier in Galatians, we're frustrating the grace of God. When we try to earn our salvation, when God has paid the price for our salvation, we try to earn our own salvation, that's a frustrating thing for Him because the debt's already been paid. It's simply up to you to receive it. And then now that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, we want to live the Christian life. Well, I just got to try harder. I got to work harder. I got to have more standards. I got to be more disciplined. I got to. And parents, boy, we need to be careful of this. Parents have turned many children away from the Lord, trying to impose things upon them. You've got to do this, and God will love you more, and God will be more pleased with you, and I'll be more pleased. No, it's all of God's grace. If I can live the Christian life on my own, I'm frustrating the grace of God because God simply wants us to die to ourselves that we might live unto Him. And that is the grace of God. God doing in me and through me what is humanly impossible. In Romans 4 and verse number 16, to go back to our text, it says, Abraham, who is the father of us all, the last part of verse number 16, he's the father of us all. He is the forerunner. He's used as an example, not that we're all children of Abraham. We go back to Adam, we're all children of Adam. We go back to Noah, we're all children of Noah. But Abraham is a father in the sense that he gives us a pattern, an illustration of what it is to believe God, that he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. I was just thinking of this morning. If you could imagine meeting Abraham in heaven. By the way, we will one day. If you're saved, you'll meet him in heaven. And asking him about his faith. Abraham, man, I love that faith that you illustrated when you took your son. I was reading the book of Hebrews this morning. And when you offered your son Isaac on the cross. I love the fact that you believed that God could raise him from the dead if you just would take your son's life. I love the fact that you believed God and you left the Ur of the Chaldees. You knew that God was going to give you and Sarah a son in your old age. And not only was Sarah 99 years old, but she'd been barren for 99 years and unable to. And now she has a child. Abraham, I just admire your faith. In fact, could you sign my Bible for me? Huh? Abraham, you really are somebody. And Abraham would say, I had no faith. Wasn't my faith. I doubted, I questioned, I whined, I complained. It was God's faith. It was God's grace. I'm only here because of God's grace, and the only faith I had was because of God's grace. My faith was weak, but God's is faithful. By the way, my faith is weak, but God is faithful. In Romans chapter number 3, look at these verses. Romans 3 and verse 23 down through verse number 26, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, we know that is a little phrase that we use in sharing the gospel, but read on. Being justified freely as a part of grace. We're just as if we'd never sinned freely, not of our own merits, but all because of His grace. Because He paid a price He did not owe. I owed a price I could not pay. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, a covering of my sin. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Not just my vision, not the word past doesn't mean just those that I've already committed and as opposed to those that I not know. As far as God's concerned, they're all in the past. Even the ones that I haven't committed yet, God's paid for all of them. Again, I can't comprehend that. I can't explain that. Verse number 26, to declare I say that at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He is the justifier. He is the one that transforms my life. Titus chapter number 3 and verse 7 says, being justified by His grace. Just as if I'd never sinned, by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I want you to turn to one passage of Scripture. We quoted part of this earlier, Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to go here and close. Ephesians chapter number 2. It's the grace that transforms our life. James again says, if you say you have faith in God, that's great. But the devils also have that faith. If you truly have faith in God, if you've truly been born again, your life is going to be different. Faith without works is dead, or there's nothing to show for your faith. There's no reality to it. Now, that doesn't mean we sit here and measure other people's faith by what they do and what our expectations are for them. But the reality is, if we're saved, our life is transformed. Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 4, but God. Those are two great words when you see them together in the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. Now, there are some words, two words in there along with the word grace, mercy and love. I'm not sure if we'll ever understand God's mercy, God's love, or God's grace in eternity. We could be studying that in eternity, and I don't know if we'd ever comprehend what either one of those things are all about. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. The word quicken means to make us alive. We were spiritually dead when God found us. And when we get saved, we become spiritually alive. For by grace are you saved. That's a miracle. That's something only God can do. And that's His grace. Something supernatural that I cannot do of my own. But He can do it in us and through us. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We can come to the very throne of God's grace because of our salvation in heavenly places. In verse number 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus, or through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Certainly we can see that as we apply it already to Abraham's life. It's not his works, or else he would have reason to boast. It's not our works. In fact, that verse that said that about Abraham, the only reason he had to boast is in God. The only boasting we have is in God. In verse number 10, for we are His workmanship. It's God working in us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, Christ came into us, or we came in to Christ. We believe our faith is in Christ and on Christ, and in that we became a part of Him. We are His workmanship. Now we belong to Him. Now our life is hid with Christ in with God in Christ. It's that grace that transforms us when we truly experience the grace of God that saves us. We are His workmanship. He starts retooling us and rebuilding us, and makes us something we could not be on our own. Transforms our life. That's the grace of God. Abraham experienced that grace that made him a different person. Not because he decided he was going to change one day, but he just trusted the promise of God. And looking into the promise of God, and faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. The more we give ourselves to the Word of God, the more God transforms us. The more God changes our life. And anybody who's been saved for any length of time that's grown in the Lord can testify the fact that the more I give myself to God's Word and memory and studying and meditating on the Word of God, God begins to do a work of grace and transforming me from the inside out. That's God's grace. We become His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So some people will say, well, just like when we get to heaven and say, well, Abraham, you had great faith. No, I didn't have anything. I didn't have any faith. I just believed in a God who was faithful. And folks would look at Christians that are living for the Lord and say, oh, you had such great. No, I don't have any faith. It's God and His faith and His faithfulness, and His transforming power. I just thought of this. I didn't mention it earlier in Romans chapter number 4. I said I'd close, but I still got three more times to close, right? Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 20 says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's an interesting phrase if you study the staggered not. But now to us, it looks like, well, he never doubted. And reality is, he did doubt. He did stagger. What that word literally means is that he knew what was on the other side. He just didn't know how I'm going to get from here to there, but I know I'm going to get there somehow. There's a whole lot of darkness between here and there. There's a whole lot of miles between here and there, but I know I'm going to be there one day. I know God's going to give me a son. I just don't know how he's going to do it. I know God's going to give me a land. I just don't know how he's going to do it. I know God's going to take me to heaven. I just don't know how he's going to do it. And that's what that word staggered. In other words, he's looking at the end, the result, not the road between here and there. And sometimes we get sidetracked because we get so focused on, Lord, how am I? I'm supposed to be over there, and there's no way there. And that's why Jesus talked about you can move mountains through faith. You can get around that mountain. You can get around that obstacle that you don't. And it, by the way, it's not you, but it's God that does it. And we're not sure how he's going to do it. And that's literally the picture that's given in that phrase. He staggered not. I'm going to get there somehow, but I don't know how. And that's the faith that Abraham had. And the more we trust in him and the more experience we gain when he leads us one step at a time, the more our faith grows. And oh, what a blessing it is to find what Abraham found, that justification is all of faith, that faith is in God, not in ourselves. It is faith of God. It's his faith working in us. And it's that his grace that transforms us. I'm going to ask you to stand.